Welcome to Women in WP, a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community.
Welcome to episode 25 of Women in WP. I'm Angela Bowman.
I'm Amy Masson.
I'm Tracy Epps.
Our guest today is Stephanie Wells. She is the founder and CTO of Formidable Forms plugin, which has over 200,000 active installations on WordPress.org. She is one of a few women plugin developers in the WordPress ecosystem. Welcome, Stephanie.
Thanks, Angela. It's fun to be here and chat.
We like to start off each of our episodes by asking our guests to tell us about their journey into WordPress. How did you get started?
By accident, I guess you could say. none of this was planned. The baby was planned, I guess you could start there. So I started backing up. So I was a nurse. I went to school as a nurse, and I was working. I worked 7 years or so. And when I had my first baby, I was suddenly stuck at home, going from the fast pace of being on my feet all day to sitting all day. And it was a little bit of a transition. and at the same time, my cousin Blair Williams, well, he's married to my cousin, was doing some contract work and was looking for subcontractors to help him out on these projects. And he was so desperate that he was looking for anybody who had interest in HTML. And I didn't. I never looked at it before. But my husband had. So he's like, oh, I'm interested. And so my cousin did a little training session on how to get a computer set up locally to run Ruby on Rails. And I had nothing to do, so I went along. And I was not even considering that I would actually do it or enjoy it or have the ability to, you know, that it would be anything for me other than just an hour to fill. So we went to this training session, and he gave us a little bit on how to get started. And I went home and I set it all up, and then I built my first site. a $400 site for my sister with it was no database, no nothing, basically just straight HTML, CSS. And that's when I learned that it was fun, that I enjoyed it and that I could do it, and that it wasn't this monumental X's and O's and everything. Anyway, just that it was actually just memorization. And I can memorize. I'm a master at binge and purge. So, let's see. And then next he started passing me off freelance work. And once he saw that I built the site, then he's like, oh, all right, here's a PDF, make it into an email template. So again, just learning more HTML and inline CSS, and just over time, just little by little, I would just do bigger, more and bigger projects. And so probably, let's see, 6 months later, my husband left his job and we moved to San Diego for an amazing opportunity for a company that didn't really have funding that we thought. So we were there for 2 months. We were paying our mortgage here in Salt Lake, as well as our rent in San Diego. and on one income, supposedly one income, they had like enough for a month to pay us. And anyway, so while we were there, my cousin gave me a project management task, I guess. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I'm a project manager now. it was one developer. And the deadline was slipping. I wasn't apparently hounding him enough to get the job done. So the deadlines were slipping, and I was not gonna mess up my first project management job. So I picked a bug from the list, and I went in and tried to fix it. And I did. It was like, oh, that's super cool. I can actually do it. So, and then I did another one, and I made the deadline. And then, you know, this job went to pot, and we came crawling back. We had $200 left in our savings account. I was able to Blair rode me a little bit for these jobs that I was doing while we were there. So we were able to make it through another mortgage payment. And then he started giving us more work since now neither of us had anything to do. And it was 2008. So there were, jobs were not great. Steve got an offer for $60,000 job for 60 hours a week. And we're just like, well, oh, that's something, it's a job. But you know, this is, I think we can get by for a little bit on doing this contract work. So let's just try it. Let's just see how far it gets us. And we started finding clients of our own. So Steve had another friend who from college who was looking for some help on his, he had a WordPress multi-site mess back when multi-site was separate and everything was all crazy. Anyway, so I hadn't heard of WordPress. This was my introduction to WordPress. And he says, we need all this work done. And I said, okay, I've never looked at PHP. I don't know what WordPress is. But yeah, I can figure it out. So I'll just give you a flat rate. So to cover my learning time and I'll get it done. My first client project was like $2,500 for all kinds of craziness. Wrote my first plugin that was one file, like 3,000 lines long. And
for those of you not watching the video, you have to see Tracy is just cracking up through this whole story, as are all of us.
Just the like, oh, well, I just did it. I love it.
The guy wasn't coming through, so I just got in there and fixed it myself. Like,
isn't that just what a woman would do?
Mm-hmm. Well, it is.
So why don't more women do it?
I think they do. Men are just taking credit for all of our work.
Mm. Yeah. So I wish more women would try it, I guess. And
oh, to do like plugin development?
Try coding and
so what was the plugin that you developed for that first job?
What was the plugin?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't anything that got released. It was just a mass of everything that checked off all the tasks on their list that they needed done. It was, part of it was like a template for when you create a new MU site, that it pre-populates with pages and content and all that fun stuff.
And I've done that, but I wasn't sophisticated enough to do it in a plugin, so it's all in some crazy functions file.
And this is in 2008 or 9, you say?
Yeah, so this was like 2008, so.
Nice.
Before custom post types, before all of it.
when I remember it was much more of like pulling teeth to get WordPress to do
right.
What you
before
wanted to do.
Before featured images, mm-hmm. before menus.
My documentation was open it up in TextMate and do a search and find whatever was closest in the code to where I wanted to stick stuff. And it worked. let's see. So I think what after, so this friend of Steve's also had, he was doing like dentist sites and I can't remember, not lawyers. Anyway, he was doing like sub sites for other people. And so he started passing off some of those sites to us too. And so Steve would do the front end and then I would do whatever back end stuff needed to be done. And on one of these sites, they had a team page where they wanted all their team members listed off and they wanted to be able to edit and change. They wanted to be able to add and remove team members without messing up the whole page without getting into the HTML.
And this was before custom post types.
Yes, before custom post types. and that's kind of where Formidable started, is it was a super clunky back-end only product that just to pick like from a drop down what kind of field type and then the views were started at the very beginning too. So the team page was a super clunky form, entries and a view. And then another one, they needed event registration, and then another client wanted journaling, front end journaling, and so we just did the forms came to the front end and like the builder was like, well, and so anyway, so it ended up being this super cool thing that I could do all of my freelance projects with, and every project just got easier and easier and built it up. And like one client, the one who wanted journaling, wanted a calendar that showed which days people had journaled. And they wanted people to be able to edit their entries and to only have access to their own, obviously. and anyway, so just built up over time throughout all these client projects and then I ended up with a product that I was using on every freelance site that I started. And I was still working as Blair's subcontractor at that point as well. And he had just launched PrettyLink and PrettyLink Pro. And he's like, oh look, here's my code that I used for the licensing and here's what I used a member and so you can just release it. You should do it. And so, and with a little bit of a push, I released it. And so I released the free version. Was it D December 2010, I think it was, and then released the pro version in February 2011. And in the first month, it brought in $2,000. So I was like, oh, that's awesome. It could actually do something. It's not just me in a vacuum. You know, there's actually people and they want it and they're using it. And so anyway, just kept on, was doing support in the comment section of a blog post and adding features as people requested, and just probably too many at that point. At that point, it was, oh yeah, it can do everything. Let's just add it all.
That's how I present Formidable Forms to people. I said, it can do everything. It can do your dishes. It can do your laundry. It can make toast.
I haven't got mine to make toast yet, but all the other things. Just
kidding. I didn't know they did dishes. I'm going to switch now.
Well, I have used my Amazon Alexa to set it up through
if this then that.
Oh, sorry, shouldn't have said that word.
I call her Ingrid when I don't want to trigger without Ingrid.
Good idea.
So what is Ingrid doing for you, Steph?
So I set up some function. I was just messing around with it one day, just set it up to send through IFTTT to, now I can't remember what I had it do, but since they do all like the home automation stuff.
I love if this then that. It's so great.
Let's see. So what next?
I just want to say that I met Steph in Salt Lake City. I was doing a talk at the Salt Lake City WordCamp, and I went to your talk, and it was in 2014, and we were in that little tiny library room, which was super crowded, and people were sitting on the floor, and Stephanie's there, and she's presenting this plugin like in this very like modest way, like just presenting her plugin. And I'm just watching and my eyes are getting bigger and bigger. And I'm like, oh my, this could do everything. Like, this is what I need. Like, I had so many use cases and I was so excited about it. But how you presented it was like, as if it were just no big deal. And so then it does this and this and this. And it's like, no, you need to be like,
it does this.
And one more thing. And one more thing. And I just feel like it really revolutionized what I could offer to clients because of that front-facing ability that you could have this web form that they could populate content on the website. And then you could present it and format it any way that you want. And so being able to use Formidable to create like artist directories and really fancy spreadsheet, front-facing spreadsheets and all this kind of other people, like user-contributed content, you know? And, but, you know, for directories and all of those kind of things. And I thought, you know, like I'd have to be a real PHP developer to do that kind of thing. And Formidable just makes it possible.
Especially
for
back,
me to look much more sophisticated than I am.
Especially back when I just looked at my pro license and I bought it in like early 2013, and WordPress was like a different animal back then. And like I've used it for like complex forms for startup generator, you know, applications and all this stuff. And like, I love all the different possibilities for it. So Steph, I don't know, have you, like, what are some of the like applications that you have heard or used it for that might be like, might shock people?
Yeah, we need to do another survey, but it's been a while. But we do, we get a lot of like church management, school management, ski clubs and crime reporting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and just all kinds of crazy stuff that people are doing. There's a huge, huge range of just things that there aren't plugins for.
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of some of these things, like you could put in like five different either third-party services or plugins and, you know, add them all together. But it's, I'm a purist. I like it as simplified as possible. So having it all in one place has been one of my favorites. That's why I use it on pretty much, well, I put it on every site.
Just, okay.
Yeah.
Me too.
I should hope so.
I love that you saw you had a need for something. And so instead of just, you know, trying to find it, you created it. And then,
well, I did try to find it, but there was nothing.
Okay. So the, you know, what you needed didn't exist. So you just created it just for your own use. And now you've, you know, turned it into a thriving, successful business. So I would really like to hear more about the transition from being just a plugin developer to a business owner and what those kind of growing pains were like.
Those growing pains are still current. And I don't know that they'll end anytime soon, but so I was on my own for the first year, just doing the support and continued feature releases and updates and all of that. And then after a year, in addition to absolutely hating the company that we were working with, we decided that it was bringing in enough that we could survive on it. So at that point, it was definitely worth the risk to not have a boss. I'm not good at being managed. it doesn't work for me. So we left. So Steve and I were basically sharing a job. We were like both 50%. Between the two of us, we were the tech team. And so anyway, so we left and then Steve joined me and we were able to, in that first month, having him on board too, we were able to up our revenue by $1,000.
Wow.
And
nice.
And so, yeah, just adding the extra help, adding, you know, having me more time with development and, anyway, so, and then, and we were, it was just us for another year. Summers were great. We would just do support only a couple hours a day. Sometimes I wish I could go back to it being just us when we didn't have employees to answer to or anybody else who I don't know, relied on us, I guess, that if we failed, it would just be us. And we could manage. So anyway, so after another year, we brought on our first employee who was my little sister. And she, we hired her to do support and she kind of took the same route I did. She was trying to decide between starting nursing school or not. And she had just gotten accepted into a nursing program. She had graduated with her bachelor's degree in some medical thing. I can never remember. anyway, so she had played around with writing an app one time. And she enjoyed it and she convinced us to hire her. and we did, and she went through support and started doing development And then she, then we had two developers. And then we started hiring people for support here and there. And yeah, even just hiring one person made a big difference in the way we could run things.
Okay. So when you made the change from like, you know, working, even just working solo or working as a family business, whatever, and then now expanding to having other employees or even contractors or whatever, there's a lot of different process stuff that needs to be considered, I'm assuming. What kind of things have you learned or have you gotten from that experience?
Well, I didn't realize that we were terrible at processes until we joined up with Syed with WPGinner last year. And that's, we spent the first 3 months just getting processes figured out and written down and anyway, so, but all that time before, we just didn't do things great. And, or I guess it's easy to say that in hindsight. And I'll probably still be saying that about what we're doing right now. But anyway, I feel like there's always much better processes that we could be doing. And when we hired our first employee, she was still a contractor, but we had her coming to our house to spend a few hours a day so that we would all be available to ask questions, all meaning Steve and I. So we hired specifically looking for people who we thought could self-learn, in hopes that I could just continue in my little box, in my developer box, and that I could just ignore everybody else. And that worked for a while. But it doesn't really work anymore. So I'm having to, we just hired a full-time developer 4 months ago, was the first full-time developer we've had. And now I'm having to learn to let go of all of my control and pass a lot of it off and write up a lot of what I do in order to be able to pass it off. And
yeah, that sounds difficult. I think about that because I'm like, I just do it. You know, like you're like, well, this, you know, I couldn't find something, so I just learned it. I just figured it out. I didn't realize that we're, that not everyone is like that. Like, I didn't realize that. And then, and now I'm like, oh, what do you mean? Like, I just figured this out. And they're like, so I didn't write down my process. Like, I can imagine that if you just like, all right, I'm going to make this plugin and then like, so documentation probably wasn't something you were thinking of right off the bat, or right?
You mean you don't just like go back to old jobs that you've done and look at what you did there to figure it out?
I avoid
that's not how it's supposed to work.
Looking at my old code because I know what's there. It's not. I've learned as I've gone and developed. Yes.
I just have a folder full of all the child themes I've built, and I do that. I just do a finder search for the code I need.
It's really I am so bad about writing down how I did things when I learned something new. And then it's like, I need to do it again. And I can never remember how I did it or where I found it. And then I'm like, oh, I did it on this site. And I have to go look at that site because I am not smart enough to document these things.
I have kind of a nerdy question because I don't know. I like hearing about this because, again, I was self-taught. What kind of is your process, especially doing the development, like your local environment, Git and, you know, like repository, like what is your kind of process for that and for launching and all that kind of stuff? How do you manage that either as solo or now with multiple developers?
In the last probably, I guess just in the last year, I've been paying a lot more attention to every little task that I have to do. And some days I'll write out like all the stupid little things that I do every day. And then just figure out how to eliminate it, how to make it, how to automate, how to get rid of as much off my plate as I can. Which of the things I'm doing, should I actually be doing, and which are stupid, which should just, or what some that should just not be done at all even. So as far as like plugin releases go, I ended up fairly recently writing like a bash script that I keep in the plugin now, that I use to it commits and creates a release in GitHub and minimizes the JavaScript and updates the language files and just all of these little silly things that were making every release take an hour longer than it needed to. And so just little by little, just making everything take less time. And that also makes it much easier to pass off too. Once I have it written up and I've told the code what to do, I don't have to tell a person what to do too.
That makes a lot of sense. I didn't realize how once I got like just task runners and those kind of automated scripts, like I did not realize how much, you know, my life would change from that. Because yeah, like that's what computers were made to do, is that repetitive task things that we can tell it to do. That so
what,
that
makes what the trained monkeys should do, right?
Exactly. And I was being a trained monkey.
Right. I think we all are, like every day.
Yeah.
You have to pay it enough attention to see when we're doing it.
Yeah, Amy's our queen of automation. I'm sure she appreciates it all.
I love to automate.
That should be your t-shirt.
Always. Every time we record, there's a new t-shirt idea. So
I need to listen to all of them to like know which ones I need to design, really.
Well, I don't document anything. So by the time it's over, I'm never going to remember what t-shirt idea I had.
Then you'll just have no choice but go back and listen to it again, I guess.
Pretty much.
I'll put that in the show notes from now on. This episode's t-shirt idea.
Here's your Zazzle link. So what is it like now that you know, are, what I find is now the busier I get, the business, you know, the agency gets, the less time I have to do the stuff that really brought me to this job that I really like to do. What do you do to kind of balance that, to find time to do more of that? Or do you just not able to do as much of that as you would like?
I'm starting to come to grips with the fact that I have to let it go and move on to managing and running the company, which is a hard transition because that's never what I had planned. I never even planned on having a company. Is just, hey, look, I have a cool product. and yeah, so that's, I'm still coming to grips with that, I think. and we're looking to hire like three positions right now, just to get to get Steve and I both out of more of the day-to-day, just all the tasks. Like I'm still doing, like managing the blog and all the content and editing everything, approving all the documentation, and right now we have, as far as developers go, we have me and one other developer. So, and we've just got way more than we can handle all the time.
Now, I've never developed plugins, so I use a lot of plugins, but I don't really understand what's involved in the maintenance of a plugin that you have, both, you know, for a premium version and one that's free in the repository. How much work goes into managing that, those different aspects of the business?
I always wish there's more time to, I never have enough time in a day to get done everything that needs to be done. And we've got 20 something add-ons in addition to the main product. And so, I mean, I'm doing good if I can just get a core release out every other week. But then getting releases out on every single add-on on a regular basis is pretty hard to stay on top of. and that's one of my jobs this quarter is to figure out how to better manage that and how to make sure everything is getting taken care of and nothing's getting dropped as far as each add-on goes. Because like today I did an add-on release to solve some bugs that I swear I had fixed and I had like a year ago and had just never released it. And with just so many things that to stay on top of, I just am not staying on top of it all.
That's like when I answer a text message in my head and forget to actually send the text message to people.
Yeah. Right. Just like that.
So when you're releasing these updates, I mean, how much are they like new feature requests or new really cool things? How much are bugs? How much are, you know, security type issues?
So we try to get at least one big super cool thing done a month. We don't always get there. A lot of the times it ends up being, anyway, something ends up taking 2 or 3 months instead of 1 month but anyway, so we try to get at least something cool done every month. Most of the add-ons are small enough that they're generally just maintenance and bug fixes and you know, smaller, less time consuming things, which is why I never think about them, because they're the little things. It's just that the big things get done and then the little things just linger for a lot longer than they should.
I can't even imagine having to deal with support tickets, but you have other people who are dealing with support, but you've answered my support questions before in quite some detail. It's just been phenomenal. Your support is one of the things that I've really valued a lot. How do you feel going forward having employees? How do you continue that same level of support? Do your support people end up coming back to you to ask you questions when they're stuck on a particular challenging thing?
Yeah. So we do. So I was in support quite a bit I pulled out of support like 9 months ago. And Steve is still, I think he's taking like 20% still. But anyway, so we use Help Scout and we can ask questions there, like in notes And Steve also ends up getting a lot of the tickets that other people don't necessarily know how to handle. And a lot of them, he doesn't know how to handle either. And he'll just ask me questions since we're in the room. And I don't think a lot of people realize that half the time I don't know either. and it's just, you know, Googling the error message that people are bringing up, or I'm having this weird issue with Salesforce, and it's like, I don't know Salesforce.
I'm about to use your Salesforce add-on. I'll tell you all the problems with your Salesforce add-on, like, in the next week.
Please do.
When it comes to having a plugin that has support, how many, I'm curious, how many support tickets do you get, like, a day, a month, that you have to manage?
So we're doing our average for this quarter was like 275 a week. And we're working really hard on getting that back down to 250. There's a lot that we can do to improve.
And do you think most of your support requests and actually purchases are more from, like, developers who you're using your plugin on sites they're building, or more individuals who are building their own sites and using it?
Based on a survey we did a year ago, primarily freelancers and agencies are the biggest bulk of our user base. And we do have the people who are building their own sites or managing a site for a nonprofit. There seem to be a lot of those. But for the most part, it's people who are building multiple sites.
And I've heard that from other plugin developers who have made a product that they thought, oh, people are going to really like. And they were really surprised to learn that the people that really wanted it were the other developers and not so much the individual who just wanted to build their own website. Did that surprise you?
I don't know that I ever defined what my market is, but at the beginning, but where I kind of built it for myself, I guess it wasn't really surprising to me that it was a developer market, where I was a developer and that was my use case.
Sorry, I just lost what I was going to say. I want to know, what kind of big plans do you have? Any new plugins, new features, or can you tell us? Are they a surprise?
Yeah, do we get a sneak peek since you're on the episode? And this doesn't release until when?
January.
Yeah.
So let us know what's coming for 2020.
Okay. We did just release a review before submit this week. So that was
nice.
One of the big ones that took us. That was our top request, actually. So we're excited to get that done. As far as the next quarter, we're going to be doing a lot of, I guess, project delight is what term we're using, is just polishing and improving and our main goal is to make everything, each part of the process of building forms and views and everything enjoyable. So that's a lot of, I mean, in the next couple months. And the next big thing is a total view overhaul. Right now, they're still basically what they were at the very beginning when I first wrote them, other than like extra filters and functionality wise, there's more, but as far as the UI goes, it's never gotten a designer's touch.
And I'm excited about that because, well, I'm a designer, but Also, because one of the use cases that I've used it for and that I found really great is like really complex forms for like conferences where they need to, you know, like there's I don't even remember the terms, but like the sub forms within forms and repeaters and that kind of stuff. And then to be able to have a view so that they could literally just print it out for the registration table, which, so I'm very excited about that.
Awesome.
Well, I have one. Oh, I was just going to say, I have one more question. Besides your own plugin, what's your favorite plugin?
Let's see. I'm trying to figure out what other plugins I use.
Because yours does it all. And the dishes.
Right. Let's see. It's a hard question. And I do really enjoy MemberPress. I've used that quite a bit. I used that on my site originally, and along with a custom licensing system, and migrated away from it. And I wish I had never migrated away. Won't tell you what I migrated to, but.
We all make mistakes.
Yes, we do. That was an expensive one. Month long time writing the migration away, and don't want to spend another month right migrating back, but you're going to have to bite that bullet.
Well, it's been so great having you on today. Before we go, can you tell everyone where we can find you online?
Well, I have a Twitter account. Does that count?
That's ominous.
I'm still kind of just in my own world. I'm not so much on the social side of things. So I mean, if you can find me on Twitter, I respond to messages usually.
She is responsive on Twitter, I have to say, as maybe social platform shy as she as you are. I've always gotten a reply from you.
Yeah. And of course on your website, formidableforms.com.
Oh yeah, formidableforms.com. That's an easy one. I thought you meant personally.
Well, I just where you want, you know, any listeners that want to contact with you, how you wanna, you know, how they might learn more about your company and what you're doing. So some people that's social, some people that's your website. Some people it's, you know, the newsletter, whatever you feel like is the best place for that.
Yeah. Well, I guess in that case, yeah. Formidableforms.com would be the best place or on Twitter. My handle is the Steph Wells. All awesome. The other Steph Wells were taken.
Well, you are the Steph Wells.
Right, right.
Yep.
Well, you are such an inspiration. It's just been so great to talk to you.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for listening. Interested in being on the show? Sign up on our website, womeninwp.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and join our Facebook group to have conversations with other women in WordPress.